This is a podcast recorded at CB Expo, Cannabis Business Expo and Conference, on September 16, 2023 in Dortmund, Germany. At the education stage, Martin Anker, Mark Montanden, Jörg Luser, and Ben Nikaj. Moderated by Sunny Marenhout. Discussed the following topic: realizing successful cannabis facility design and energy efficiency. Language, English. Enjoy your podcast listening.
Good afternoon, everybody. I hope some more people will join us this afternoon. welcome for everybody here. We're going to talk about realizing successful cannabis facilities, looking at design and energy efficiency. I think we have the right four people over here on stage to discuss with us on this subject. But I think let's start with introduction of yourself, everybody. Just in a minute, what just do you do and from which company you're here?
Okay, I'm Martin Anker, CEO and founder of Sunlight. Sunlight is a LED grow light brand. Yeah, we are manufacturing roughly 100,000 lights a year in Austria. And on the other hand, we are doing research on cannabis directly in our facility.
Thank you.
Mark? My name is Mark Montandon, owner and CEO of Carbon Active. We are present in this market for quite a long time, 19 years, and always focused on HVAC ventilation systems. And these days, we also able to provide turnkey solutions for facilities.
Right. Jörg?
My name is Jörg Löser. I'm the CEO from the Cannafarm Anstatt GmbH. We have Plain, a new production for medical cannabis in Germany of 30,800 Quadratmeters. We have beginning for this project. The problem is we have not licensed.
Last one.
And my name is Ben Nikaj. I am a crop advisor for Grodan. Grodan is a part of a Rockwool company. So we are supplier of growing media of Rockwool. So my job is visiting customers worldwide and giving advice in growing and as well irrigation and yeah, everything around growing cannabis indoors and in greenhouses. So I've been working for more than 20 years for Grodan, but prior to that I was an advisor as well. So I have more than 25 years experience in hydroponics.
All right, so you see we have from all different kind of angles into the cultivation people here on stage. Starting with you, Martin, talking about production facilities, everybody talks always, what is better, medicinal cannabis going for greenhouse grown or indoor grown? What are your thoughts around that subject?
So in general, both has its advantages and disadvantages, that's a clear fact. In my opinion, there are, let's say, four main factors which influence this decision. One factor for sure is the location where it is. It's not a good idea to do it in a greenhouse when you have 80% humidity around the greenhouse. The other question is the product, what I want to produce. Yeah, do I want to produce smokable flowers where the bud appearance is very important for that? Then may an indoor facility is a better choice. And on the other hand, may you're just producing for extraction, then maybe a greenhouse is a better choice. Yeah. Next point is, in my opinion, the scale. Yeah. So the market is developing in different directions. So on the one hand, we see that it's very important to can be fast in reaction regarding new strains and bringing them to the people as fast as possible. Then may indoor is an advantage because it's easier to separate or to build up many, many small rooms in comparison to a greenhouse. And yeah, last but not least, it's a question of a return of investment and investment itself.
Yeah. Ben, you are, of course, traveling the world and also Europe, visiting a lot of growers. What do you see? More greenhouses or indoor?
Actually, currently, I think it's more you see indoors. And I understand as well, because the requirement for medicinal products are so, so high. And here we are not talking much about yield, but we start with the quality, consistency and yield at the end. And in order to have that consistent product, which and to meet the requirement from the pharma, it's way easier, for instance, to control the climate when you are indoors, because as long as you have the all equipments adequate for growing. Everything is in the hand of the grower, so you are, yeah, you can have the ideal conditions to grow a consistent product. But nevertheless, greenhouses as well, they have some advantages. But for medicinal, I would say, at least with the current standards and requirements that we have, probably indoors it will be easier to grow.
Yeah, we, as our company, we also have quite a few growers, but also greenhouses. It is doable, but you need the right people to run it. So the cultivation knowledge producing in a greenhouse is at a higher level because you also dealing with all the outdoor effects, of course. So it is possible, but it's more difficult. But
at the same time, when in greenhouse, you know that in general, they are much larger, and actually the idea is to grow in larger scale. But to be honest, it's more difficult to have that uniform climate as you may have in indoors. You can go in greenhouses, like now the, you can have very high-tech semi-closed or completely closed greenhouse or a sort of hybrid in between, which I prefer the most. So indoors, inside the closed greenhouse, and to have in a small rooms or small size base, and not like above like 500 or whatsoever. So 200 meters square, still you can control it. But above it, it's more complicated.
Jörg, you're building now a facility. What did you choose for?
Ich spreche jetzt in Deutsch. Okay, mein Englisch ist nicht so gut. Mein Englisch ist not so gut.
Das geht das. Deswegen spreche ich jetzt in Deutsch und mein Freund, der Mark, der übersetzt das ein bisschen.
If somebody doesn't understand German, raise up their hands. Okay, one, two, three. Yeah, okay, perfect.
That's okay. Wir haben uns entschieden, Indoor zu bauen, weil es derzeit eigentlich die einzige Alternative ist, um wirklich qualitätsmäßiges Cannabis zu produzieren.
They choose to I cannot remember too much. They choose for going indoors because the same reason is just that you can control the quality of the product during the whole process, during the whole year.
Weil letztendlich ist die Pflanze Cannabis eine ist ja ein Lebewesen und am Ende des Tages hat sie eigentlich das Beste verdient und das kann man derzeit eigentlich nur in Indoor machen und auch die ganzen technischen Prozesse und alles, was dazugehört, Energieeffizienz, Klima, das ist im Indoor eigentlich derzeit am besten zu realisieren.
Right. So looking at this aspect that the plants deserve the best, what she can get, it's also only capable to do it indoors. And so you can control the environment perfectly adapted to the plants. So in this small cycle of the 60 days, you can give the plant what it really needs to get it the most out of it. So that's why indoors.
Yeah, and then of course we're coming to you, Mark, looking to the indoor facilities, HVAC design.
HVAC design.
What are the most important elements for you in that regard? Because we see quite frequently that the design is not really ideal. So what is, why are you making it perfect?
Well, first you have to understand the size of the facility. If it's a small facility, you can choose a different HVAC system than in the middle or in the large scale. These days it's really simple and easy to have a high efficient HVAC system. It's a little depending a little bit on investments. But for example, a free cooling, this is something we use. This is where you can use the cold air in winter to reduce the heat in the facility, but without changing the air. So it's still a closed system, but you transfer it to the water. There also you can use the solar power to, you know, get the heat pump going, and you can store the cold water in the storage. So there is no strict answer. The question is really good, because in the end, you have to look at the project, you have to look at the facility, the size, the efficiencies, and redundant, this is also a word which is very important. For example, we just noticed that a client of us had an issue with the climate and he lost his whole crop. So investing there in the beginning a little bit more saves you over time money. It's really 101. So $1 more, it's $1 safe. So, and there are different systems. It's with the gas, which is not going to be allowed anymore soon, 2030. Laws are changing. You can use CO2 butane for cooling. That's the new system. It's more expensive but more efficient. And then water glycol mixtures, which is standard in above 300-400 kilowatts cooling.
Yeah.
So may I give you the answer somehow?
Yeah, the right direction indeed.
The right direction.
Of course, it's also related to the light you put into the facility. So going to you, Martin. Of course, the amount of light really influences the calculations for the HVAC design. How do you work together on that, for example?
I just want to add something to Mark regarding HVAC system. So due to our history, we built it up 4 research rooms in Sunlight's history. Yeah, we started at, let's say, low-cost systems and ended up now with a system from Carbon Active. And over 12 years, we always researched partly on the same strain. And we got yields of roughly 800 grams per square meter. And now with an optimized HVAC system, that means we are on point regarding VPD. We got 50% more yield and put everything other factors the same as before. So just being on point with VPD can increase your yield by 50%. So in my opinion, it's very important to invest the right money and think enough about HVAC system because it's a very important factor. In general, me and Mark, we are working together now since 2 years. Yeah, built up a few projects. Mark also did our facility, our research facility. And we know how we work, every one of us. There is somehow a blind understanding, I would say. So I've taught Mark a lot about light. What's the recommendation for which customer?
Yeah.
And Mark explained me a lot about HVAC system. Yeah. And that's the way how we are collaborating and how we are supporting customers at the end of the day, because we both know each other deep technical stuff.
Yeah. If you talk about HVAC design, Ben, what is the role of irrigation in regards to the HVAC?
Actually, you said we have different fields in this panel, and that's what makes cannabis interesting, because we are growing in this completely sealed box that you have to control everything, and you need engineers, architects, biologists, agronomists, everybody around, because in the center of all those equipments that you are talking, we have the plant. Yes. And everything has to be in function of the plant. And actually, what I see when I visit customers, the biggest challenge is how to maintain that the right balance of climate or the everything the plant needs. And sometimes we don't, from the start, we don't do the right calculation. And it's extremely important when it comes to HVAC, because we have seen now with light, we can do everything. With LEDs now, we can do everything. But still, I think it's a lot of work to be done with the HVAC system, because if you have plant, well, talking about irrigation, we know that plant, we want to increase the maximum of production, we increase the light, but when you increase the light, you have to increase the water, the plant needs more water uptake and everything. So, and water, we know that 98% of the water which is taken by the plant, it goes to the air. And imagine all this water in the sealed room, it has to be somehow controlled and has to be removed. And then we have day and night, so during the day we have to remove probably 70% of this amount of water, and during the night 25%. So those calculations have to be done right, at what moment plant transpires the maximum, because all have to be based on the maximum uptake of the plant, and not saying that, yeah, maybe, I don't know, 6 liters per meter square or 7 or 8 or whatever, but it has always, we have to look at the maximum water uptake of plant in let's say in flowering stage, and calculation has to be based on that. But this is why irrigation plays a big role, because let's say when you give the precise and the right amount what plant needs, that means that you have less water in the room, which means less load to be moved out. So at the end of the day, you have less electricity, you save, and you create the right balance.
But you save a bit on dehumidification,
exactly.
Inefficiency. Jörg, what did you choose for in regards to dehumidification? How you
was du ausgesucht hast für die Entfeuchtung? Kannst du Carbon Active sagen? Sorry.
Alles gut.
Sorry, that was it.
Also wir haben im Grunde genommen ein komplettes System ausgesucht, was alles über die Klimaanlagen letztendlich geregelt wird.
They choose the complete system, which is controlled by the HVAC system. So closed system.
Closed. Yes, also es ist ein in sich geschlossenes technologisches System, praktisch angefangen von den Mutterpflanzen bis zum Ende, bis zur Ernte. Und was die Trocknung dann am Ende des Tages anbetrifft, worauf es eigentlich geht, war es eigentlich ein großes Problem oder ist es ein großes Problem zu sagen, was nimmt man? Nimmt man die sogenannte Schnelltrocknung oder man nimmt halt die natürliche Trocknung? Und wir haben uns letztendlich aufgrund von, dass eine hohe Qualität existiert, obwohl man länger braucht, für die normale Trocknung entschieden.
Okay. I'm going to answer or I'm going to translate this, but also regarding to what Ben was saying, is that, you know, if you look at one room, you have one HVAC system maybe for this room. But if you have several rooms, you know, you have the energy transfer over all these rooms. So you have a room which is week one, a room which is week eight, so different demands, day and night. And then you're also going to implement, of course, mother room, clone room, drying room. And all these rooms have different needs. Perfect.
Exactly.
And what we have in the end is always too much heat. Mm-hmm. So we always extract. You know, Klima, people think Klima is cooling things down. That's not true. It is extracting heat of something. So that's why it's cooler. So if you extract heat out of a system, we can store it. And then we can start heating the whole facility, the water which you use for cleaning your hands, the neighbors, you know, you can bring the heat back into the system for the neighbors, or as you have the garden, Gärtnerei, what do you say?
Greenhouse.
Greenhouse, yeah, another greenhouse next to it, so you can heat the greenhouse, so it's all free energy in the end. So your system is looking over the whole facility, including neighbors. So that's the whole.
Yeah. All right. Diving into it a little deeper with HVAC design and the airflow in the grow room. Are you working then with air from the bottom to the top, or is it from the sides? What? How is the system working for you guys?
Okay. Now we're in really engineering facilities. Okay. the rooms. It is a good question because it depends how you let the air flow in the room.
Yeah.
You use these thermal changes also for your site. So you can reduce the volume of the air you're transferring in the room. Because when you reduce the volume, you reduce HVAC, the size of it, the tubes, the fans, everything. It's getting smaller. So it's really, really important. People were starting in the beginning to bring in the air from the bottom. But these days, the rolling benches were not in the cannabis industry. So they were always bench and bench and bench, and you had enough space to let the air flow in between. But as soon we adapted the rolling benches into the rooms, it couldn't work anymore because the air just went stuck underneath, yeah, exactly, and just came on the sides and the fronts. So that was not really perfect anymore. So what we liked to do is shoot the air from the sides between the lamp and the crop. So to shoot it in from the sides. So what happens, because this air is cooler, it pushes away the hot air and, you know, cools down the plants. So you can reduce the airflow by 30% at least.
Okay.
To get the same climate.
But which not the most important is actually to have the, let's say, the same temperature in vertical and horizontal. So the direction is not that important. We have to have air movement all around the plant. So this is the key. So we don't have pockets of microclimate. So it's really important to measure the, let's say, the leaf temperature or what is around the leaf. Mm. So air has to move in all directions.
I agree. That's key. And also think about that. The airflow itself, the air which is floating over the leaves, yeah, it's strongly influencing the leaf temperature. So it's not just to having 26 degrees in your grow room. It's a big matter if you have 2 meters per second or 0.2 meters per second airflow.
And this we can adapt in the system. So we can change the air speed over the crop. So because young plants, they don't really like it because there the VPD is really like going. And in the end of the week eight, you can actually do it. More likely.
In the end, it's all about the uniformity in the crop, And like Ben said, having the right microclimate at the right plant stage. That's why, yeah, you need to be as flexible with your system as possible. So, yeah, I've seen in the past sometimes facilities where a young crop is and then you're almost blown away by the high airflow. Yeah, that is something we don't want, of course. So the design, that is an important phase of constructing your facility. So going back to you, Jörg, you're now actually building the facility. How long did it take you to come to the final design? Is it years of work for you or...
Ja, ich sag mal, das Design ist fertig. Also es ist ja alles im Grunde genommen geplant und alles zu Ende gemacht.
Yes. Ja. So it's actually finished. So because designing, maybe I should get the answer. Right. Maybe I should just give you the answer. Yeah. So. it's a process, of course. And because there are not so many companies where can imagine everything. So there's in general GU, you know, he helps building the facility around it, which we can't do, you know, the ground, basement, everything. Yep. And they struggle, of course, to fill in the rooms. And so we were working together to find the right situation with the elevators and with the staircase. So where is the drying room? Where is the plant room? It's, the design is finished, yes.
Yeah. Ja, und
but it was taking 6 months.
Und der Prozess, letztendlich gesehen, bis wir so weit waren, wie wir jetzt sind, aufgrund des Neubaus, ja, mit allen Schwierigkeiten, die letztendlich da auf uns drauf zugekommen sind, haben wir jetzt 1,5 Jahre gebraucht, um wirklich im Endeffekt das so auszuklügeln, dass es wirklich dann am Endeffekt auch für die Pflanze das Beste ist und auch von der Qualität her. Ja, den Reinheitsgrad, der gebraucht wird, das ist also dann am Endeffekt das, was man mit der Technologie, die man jetzt ausgesucht hat, dann realisiert.
So it was taking roughly 1.5 years to find out the most efficient way to also support the needs of the plants. Workflow. Workflow is something that's very important to also keep the...
Yeah, it is not easy with a cannabis facility. You do your own genetics with mother plants. You do the propagation, you do the growing, and then also the post-harvest. So in terms of efficiency, not only energy efficiency, also workflow efficiency, it's really important to schedule that right. And that brings me also back to your subject, Ben, irrigation. Looking to drip irrigation versus ebb and flood. What is your comment on that?
We are talking about these medicinal plants, which, as I said before, consistency is number one. And in order to have this consistent product throughout the whole crop, but as well between cycles, you need to have the most precise way of irrigation. And it has been proven already in vegetable industry for more than 50, 60 years, that the best way is to go with the drippers. You still can work with ebb and flood, but you, let's say, like an example, practical example, we say during the day you have to have a dry bag between cycles of 2 to 3%, after the last irrigation 3%, during the night 10%. We are talking about percentages, small ones, and the only way to realize those little numbers is by using drippers, because with drippers you can give, if you want, 30 milliliters per plant, or 60 or 100, and with ebb and flow you don't really have that that capacity. The same for EC, for instance, electric conductivity. We have, now that we can do research, the research has shown that you can increase the amount of cannabinoids through irrigation strategy, for instance, either with a bit of drought stress or controlled stress through electrical conductivity. But that means that, let's say, this week you are in week one of flowering, you want to increase slowly the EC or fast, by watering in with a dripper you can change the EC as fast as you want. And when you are with ebb and flow, you have no chance. You either have maximum or minimum. So you are always playing within two limits. So with, I would say, drippers, for me, is a preferred choice.
Yeah. Yeah, of course, epiflot is possible, but you have less options in steering during the flowering stage.
True.
You do see sometimes that growers then stick with epiflot system in the veg phase, but that's anyway a short period, and you irrigate.
That's not a
minimal
problem. Exactly. That's what I say always, because in veg you hardly water, so you water maybe 1 or 2 times during those 15 days, and that's perfect, no problem at all. But during the flowering, if you really are looking to get that maximum out of genetics of plants and to get the highest of those cannabinoids, then I would say better is to choose a dripping system. Yeah.
All right, then one of the other important elements for energy efficiency in the growing facility is, of course, light. Going back to you, Martin, what is, in your eyes, the best spectrum working with cannabis?
Yeah. In terms of efficiency, you always have to have two things in mind. On the one hand, you have an electrical efficiency, yeah, how much what I need to generate a micromole or vice versa. But you also have a quantum efficiency at the plant side. Yeah? This quantum efficiency is influenced by the light intensity. In general, you can say, okay, as higher the light intensity, as lower the efficiency of the quantums itself or the quantum efficiency. So you can claim that spectrum depends, or the perfect spectrum strongly depends on the light intensity what you are using. Yeah? So if I just focus, for example, on cannabis, where most growers indoor are using higher intensities at 600 micromole, it's clearly recommend to use a broadband spectrum. And in general, you can say, okay, as higher the PPFD levels you are working for, as easier to use is a bright broadband spectrum. So it means a wide spectrum, including all the colors, starting from 400 nanometers and ending somewhere between far red and infrared. Yeah. For lower light intensities, for example, in a greenhouse, below 200 micromole, in my opinion, that classical pink or red and blue spectrums are very efficient, because electrically wise, we can generate almost 1 micromole more per watt. So it's a very efficient light source. But we see that as soon as we are reaching more than 400 micromoles, then the quantum efficiency at the plant side is going in the wrong direction. And then the spectrum starts to get inefficient. So we are, yes, with red and blue, very efficient electrically. If we are using that at a low light intensity, that can be very helpful. So in a greenhouse, maybe. Yep. But indoor at high light intensity, it's clear a broadbanded spectrum, yeah, including all the colors.
Okay. Then, Jörg, what did you choose for in your facility? Micromole levels and spectrum?
Welche Lampen und wie viel Mikromole und welches Spektrum hast du für die Facility bei dir gewählt?
Ich gebe mal die Frage weiter an.
So he's using Sunlight.
So yes, he's
going. Er weiß es besser als ich, denn wir haben es mit Ihnen schon vorbereitet und
ja. Yeah.
So he's going to use Sunlight, our Evo series, yeah, lots of them. And we designed it up to for light intensities up to 1200 micromole. But our clear recommendation is not to start at 1200 micromole, because if you don't have experienced grower, and everybody of us knows, yeah, running a facility is not just switching on and then everything is perfect. It's a tool, yeah, and you need how to handle this tool over the time. You need to learn. And so he has the possibilities to go to 1200 micromoles, but our recommendation, it start a little bit lower. So what we recommend in general is these 900 micromoles, where we see it very beneficially regarding quantum efficiency and regarding usability. So more than 1000 micromoles, let's call it master class. Yeah, then you really need a good grower. You need to read to have everything perfect under control. Yeah. With 900 micromole, even the home growers can handle that intensity in general.
Also for your project, we have 1,762 lights for this project.
All right.
A few ones.
So then, connecting that to substrate choice, Ben, in regards to efficiency, light towards irrigation, substrate management and choices, can you elaborate on that one?
Well, you can grow plants basically in anything, but then again, coming to that uniformity story, you have to choose the most uniform product that is out there, and in medicinal cleanliness and to be without any additives or without heavy metals, inert substrate is preferred versus the others, and as well that helps in having that consistent product. But as well, when talking about efficiency, because of the topic, I would say the substrate plays a big role as well, because it allows you to water in a precise and exactly what the plant needs. But a small tip, not necessary to irrigation, I would say, to use a tool or sensors to measure the leaf temperature, because it's very often neglected, and people, they just check the air temperature and they do everything based on air temperature. But leaf is the one who tells exactly how it's feeling. And you can save a lot of money if you, for instance, even in HVAC system calculation or anything, when you take always in consideration the leaf temperature, because most of the time, especially with LEDs, leaf temperature is a few degrees, couple degrees lower than air, and that allows you to better control the BPD or the climate around the plants. So yeah. I think it's when you talk about energy efficiency, you really have to have those sensors to really measure the plant, because as well, plant temperature tells how happy it is. A plant which is warmer than air in general is stressed and not happy. Yep. So either it's because of irrigation, you haven't watered enough, or it can be because of too much temperature or too much CO2 or too much light or whatsoever. But it tells a lot how plant is feeling. So we have to make sure that we use these small sensors. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Looking, moving forwards, like you already mentioned that from 2030 onwards, gas is not anymore allowed. Where are the biggest gains for energy efficiency in cannabis cultivation, and you think, Mark?
Is not to rush in the planning of any HVAC systems anyways. It's really taking the time to go through the whole process. So how many micromoles would you like to have? 1,200, okay. Because once you set up 1,200 micromoles in your room, you have to have your HVAC system adapted to this point. Even if you're not using it, as soon you're going to use it, you're going to have this problem. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows that if you run your car, which you came here, on the red line, yeah, you know, constantly driving there, it will not last for long. So we call it reserves. So you just add always more, a little bit bigger, a little bit more, to get it, just these edges you can handle better. And then, yes, in technology helps to calculate. So a workflow, so we have 6 rooms. We always recommend about 6 rooms because it's the most efficient way how you can build a facility, because you have 8 weeks, 6 mm-hmm. rooms, so you're not all of them at the same highest, you know, levels. The workflow works together, and then you have to choose your system. So this, choosing the system is where it gets different in price. So the system which we like to sell is the glycol water mixture, which the HVAC system is run by cold water, which is produced by a machine and stays somewhere far away and just does the job and preparates the water. This is the most efficient, most expensive, but most efficient way.
And then going back to light, Martin, where are the biggest gains for you to win in becoming even more energy efficient with your LEDs?
Yeah, so in general, for the future, I do not believe that lights will increase efficiency dramatically over the next 10 years. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we are somehow at the border what's technology-wise possible with LEDs.
Yeah.
But gaining in energy efficiency is just hanging the light at the right height mm-hmm. and at the right position. So light planning, for sure, is a big influence. And for a greenhouse in the Netherlands, we did a calculation, for example, yeah, and analyzed. They wanted to have it directly under the rooftop, as it is somehow a standard in greenhouses. And then we did the calculation with an adaptable height. So the system that the lights can be lifted up and down, it's costly for sure, yeah. Yep. But with that, we reduced the energy consumption by 30%. Just hanging the lights at every time at the right height. And for that project, that meant, for example, 1 million less costs for energy just for the light, because the lights are all at every day in the right height, in the right distance between a canopy and light. Yeah. So that's a very big influencing factor.
Yeah, so you say it's more into how to use the lights and the strategy in that way.
Yeah, for sure. The strategy is, in my opinion, very important.
Yeah.
Again, leaf temperature. Yeah, does it make sense to run a system at the 11th hour at 100% when the leaf temperature shows you that the plant stops transpiration and it's going upward, and it makes sense to reduce the light intensity. And again, we are at sensors to measure the leaf temperature.
Yeah, and then going back to you, Ben, with water efficiency, another part of a growing facility, where you think in that field are the biggest gains in the coming years?
Measuring what's happening on the root zone. Because let's say, in general, we just want to measure what's happening in the air, because that's what we see, let's say the air temperature, CO2, but we forget the root zone. And if you look in those parameters, which are very important to grow an optimal crop, you have 5 in the top and 4 on the bottom, but what's happening with the root zone, we hardly see it, we don't see it. The only way to see it is by having sensors measuring, because sometimes I was grower as well, and yeah, I touch but with my fingers, oh, I say it's wet or dry, or I try to wait, but to be honest, this is not realistic, so we have to get used to use sensors. Now there are out there so many sensors, and very affordable as well, which it gives you a lot. And Grodan as well is working. We have been using sensors for the last 30 years. So you really have to know what's happening in your zone, like what temperature, water content, EC, and yeah, pH, or if you can, let's say, the balance of nutrients. But we have to learn a lot, and we can gain a lot by knowing what's happening in a root zone, because yeah, roots are the foundation of the plant. So if you have a healthy root, certainly you have a healthy plant and vice versa, but you have to know what's happening there. So
yeah,
you should use sensors in hydroponics. It's a must.
Yeah, so looking back in this panel, we have discussed about the water efficiency with you, Ben. We have the light efficiency in general and consumption. So all of this you guys can start seeing hopefully soon with you, Jörg, at your facility, because now I know that you have chosen for all these systems in your facility. So I hope we can start seeing that live soon that you get your license. For now, I want to thank you guys for your input in this panel. Thank the audience for being here. So thanks, guys.
Thank you also very much.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast. You can find more podcasts on our channel, and we look forward to welcoming you to one of our upcoming events. All dates are available at cb-net.com.